Cool.
It has to be said, I'm easily led. There's nothing in the rules have been read. You still have to touch. I like it so much. We could just stay awake drinking, drinking, drinking. We could just kiss. Shouldn't contemplate this. Shouldn't stay awake drinking. There's lies in the air, but it's genuine care, allowing your fingers to run through my hair. I hate what I am, for fuck's sake, damn. My heartbeat tries to be steady, ready, ready. On your marks, get set. This will end in regret. Regardless, he knows that I'm ready. To me, I'll do something silly. I'm relying on you and your own dignity. Believe me, I'm scared. This is crap, but I'm scared. Somebody stop me. I'm going. And if someone walks in, will I blame it on him? We're ready. We know where it's going. Where is the line? How do we define when we can go no further and then stop when it's time to put on our jeans? 'Cause it blatantly means that we've gone too far and it feels stupid. I did, you did. My alibi's drink. I don't know, but I think it'll help me forget I'm being stupid. Seem to choose, though I know what I'll lose, to loosen my belt and unfasten my shoes. Closing my eyes as my dignity dies, an innocent evening of drinking, incredible lies, that's a sexual cry. We shouldn't have stayed awake drinking.
Hi, this is Declan Bennett, and you are listening to Out Radio.
Well, the next album
this time under your name, was Innocent Evening of Drinking. That was 2008. And this is the album when I became aware of your music. And I confess that I bought two copies, one for the house and one for the car. So I'd be close to
you. That's great.
Is there an overall theme for this album, overall message?
You know, I didn't start out with an Innocent Evening of Drinking, like being the name for the album, or, you know, I'd been writing these songs and I'd been in a relationship with somebody, and a lot of these songs were kind of coming out of that. Then I wrote the song An Innocent Evening of Drinking, and I thought, okay, that's it. That's what this kind of album is about, because just the idea of an innocent evening of drinking is like, was there ever such a thing as an innocent evening of drinking? It always starts out innocent, and then, you know, once people start getting some beer down them and they start getting a bit drunk, then it's kind of about, like, the idea of the truth coming out when, you know, that drunken truth. And once people get a few drinks down them, they start saying things that they would never say when they were sober.
I got to see you this past spring in Austin, South by Southwest. And I live in mm-hmm. Houston, and I've never been to South by Southwest. But when I heard you were going to be there, I made the trip.
Great. Thank you.
And you sang Blue Tack. Could you talk about that? I think you might need to explain what Blue Tack is also.
Sure. So Blue Tack it's this blue sticky stuff that you use to put up posters onto your wall. I think in this country you have White Tack. And it's that same, it's like putty, like that kind of sticky little putty, and you put it behind the poster and put your poster up on the wall. So Blue Tack, literally I was sitting in my kitchen and this was where I recorded the Kitchen EP as well. And I was sitting there one afternoon and I looked up onto the wall and there were all these pictures of me and this person who I, you know, was in a relationship with. And things weren't, you know, things were kind of on the rocks and things were not great. And I started to have these visions of all these pictures on the wall, just kind of falling down off the wall one by one. And they were all attached to the wall with Blue Tack. So this song, Blue Tack, was was born. It was this this idea of that, you know, you can keep kind of like trying to kind of plaster things, and you can keep putting these pictures back on the wall, but eventually that, you know, the Blue Tack or the sellotape or whatever it is, it's not going to last. It's just, it's like putting a Band-Aid over something. You know, it's only going to last for a certain amount of time before the reality of the situation shows.
Face up, stare at the ceiling, cold hard floor has never felt so good. Ants are trying to surround me, no one's gonna move me even if they could. Nobody told me when I'd have to choose between a piece of information that was cutting through. Normally Mondays I'd be fast asleep, but now I'm staring at the ceiling, baby, not at you. I said, goes, and you broke my nose. I should have seen it coming just as well, I suppose. I said, oh, the picture you can pretend is a way that you will always be. Now you're face down in the kitchen floor, and I don't understand. You know it's too late for sellotape to cover up the bruise. Well, how much Blue Tack does one person need to know the photo will hold, no matter how much you use? someone will find me. They'll say he hasn't moved for days. Nobody told him love had the capacity to paralyze your heart in so many ways. I said, that's the way the story goes. And now God only knows why I'm lying on the floor in someone else's clothes. I said, the picture you can pretend is a way that you will always be. And now you're face down in the kitchen floor, and I don't understand. You know it's too late for sellotape to cover up the bruise. Well, blue tag, does one person need to know the photo won't hold no matter how much you do?
Please tell me about Lessons in Love.
Lessons in Love is, it's being in a relationship with somebody who is more advanced than you at that time, and this person is making requests from you and being like, you know, I need you to love me like this. I need you to love me with this kind of intensity, and I need you to do this, and I need you to do that. And saying, you know, if you don't hurry up and figure out how to do that, then this isn't going to work. And it's like, you want to be able to love that person in the way that they want to be loved, but you can't do that. You know, you can't change the rules of your heart, and you can't change the way that you love people. Sometimes you meet people and they are ready to just get married and move in and start having babies. And then other times you don't. So it's that whole idea of when I do learn to love you, and when I finally figured out how to love you, someone else is going to beat me to the place, because I'm not on the same level as you right now.
To love you, someone else would beat me to the place. I can't keep putting on a face that says I'm happy. I have to learn to love you, 'cause I can't live without you. Understand the mind that I I'm trying to be nice. You say you don't give lessons in love. But I should know just what to do. But I should know exactly how to trust you. Baby, that's just great. When I learn to love you, or someone else would beat me to the plate. Well, I was busy learning lessons, but you weren't prepared to wait. And I say, you say you don't give lessons in love. But I should know just what to do. But I should know exactly how to trust you. Baby, that's just great. La-da-ba-ba-ba-da-bum.
Talk about the song Vessel.
Vessel is, in a similar way to Lessons in Love, it's about being with somebody for the wrong reasons. And knowing that you're with that person for the wrong reason, you feel very stagnant in your approach to the relationship. The first lyric I wrote when I wrote Vessel was, I had this line in my head of, my baby's made of blood, it's a shame that I'm made of stone. And it's that idea of somebody being invested in this relationship, and they feel it in all of their body, and it's a very physical, emotional, spiritual experience. And then the other person just feels very flattened by it and feels very like you're made of stone. Yeah, that's pretty much what Vessel's about.
He's diluting my innocence, but really don't mind. He keeps sending me my mates in the hope that he'll find a vessel that is cleaner. Oh, some blood that will dry. That muscle I keep under surveillance. dance so I don't cry. I keep myself in my skin and iron, try to get out until it all becomes apparent what it is you're about. And that vessel it will open like a lung to the air. Until you can hold your breath, I'm left fighting for air. Like the liquid inside of a vessel, I've got nowhere else to run. Like the memories inside of a photograph, waiting impatiently to be exposed. But I've never been more true than I was with you on the phone. And my baby's made of blood. It's a shame that I'm made of stone. Our bodies are temples, but our minds are insane. We're intent on injections that ease us from pain. With some wounds they never healed. It hurts, but I'm okay. Just locate the appropriate vessel and wash it away. I keep myself in my skin and on, try to get out. Till it all becomes apparent what it is you're about. And that vessel it will open like a lung to the air. Until you can hold your breath, I'm left fighting for air. Like the liquid inside of a vessel, I've got nowhere else to run. Like the memories inside of a photograph, waiting impatiently to be exposed. But I've never been more true than I was with you on the phone. My baby's made of blood. It's a shame that I'm made of stone. He's diluting my innocence, but I really don't mind. He keeps entering my maze, and I hope that he'll find a vessel that is cleaner, or some blood that will dry. I keep myself in my skin and arm, try to get out till it all becomes apparent what it is you're about. And that vessel it will open like a lung to the
I love to talk about hard to find songs, and your Live at Rockwood concert contained the song Yesterday. Could you talk about that one?
Yeah, that's funny. Somebody mentioned that song to me the other day because they had that download, and then since I changed the website, and then they lost their CD, and they were like, "Oh, we don't have that song anymore. You need to like give it to me again." Yesterday, I wrote. This is actually kind of a weird story, but I had. I had this dream one night, and it was basically I was dreaming about my funeral, and I remember it was in this church that I used to go to when I was a kid, and I was lying in this casket, and it was an open casket, which is weird because we don't have open caskets in the UK. Yeah. Really, we're not in the church yet. They're always closed. So it was an open casket, and I don't know if you're familiar with Damien Rice, who is a singer-songwriter. Well, anyway, this girl who used to sing with Damien, she was his like backing singer. Her name's Lisa Hannigan. And she's another, somebody you should check out. She's a really beautiful, incredible artist, and her voice is gorgeous. So in this dream, /nightmare, she was walking towards my casket singing Yesterday. And I'd never heard the song before, ever in my entire life. I didn't know, but I was dreaming, and she was kind of singing this, Yesterday when you were always there, yesterday, and this melody was kind of like really like seeping into my subconscious, and she kind of walked towards this casket, and then she pulled open my chest, and on the inside of my chest was like a comic book story of my life. It was really odd, and then I woke up and I was singing this song in my head, and so I reached over and grabbed my dictaphone and just started humming and singing the things that I could remember, and that's how that song was born.
Wow, you wrote it in a dream.
Yeah, I literally wrote it in a dream. It's just so strange, really, really odd. It's the only time that's ever happened. It was kind of a surreal experience.
Okay, this is where the tortured love songs begin. Ready, go. Yesterday, I breathed out for you, and I breathed out for the two of us, just in case there was something left hidden inside that's been bothering us. Today, I breathed out for one, and I breathed out just for me. Mind and mind, she are dependent on me thinking singularly. It's just a matter of equations. Singularly. It's like having to dance on your own. You don't wanna dance alone, but since yesterday. Still find it hard, you see. Well, now my mind and my chi are still struggling with me thinking singularly. It's just a matter of equations. Singularly. It's like having to dance on your own. You don't wanna dance alone, but since yesterday. mind, she are still struggling with me, thinking singularly. It's just the matter of equations. Hey, spark, singularly. It's like having to dance in your own. I don't wanna dance alone, but since yesterday, you're always there. Yesterday.
Your latest album is Record Breakup, and I think that's a masterful album.
Thank you very much.
I want to hear about Kidnapped.
The whole of Record Breakup is I designed it as a concept, so it was supposed to be listened to all in one piece, like it was just one song, you know? And so it has a very specific journey that runs through it. And Kidnapped is obviously, it's like the second song on the album, and it's suggesting this idea that it's about someone who is in a relationship with somebody, but they are starting to fall for somebody else. It's that idea of going, I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask to fall in love with somebody else. I'm in this relationship with you, but now this other person that has come into my life, and if my heart has a lock and I've got this right, well, you must have dropped your key when you were... So it's like this: the person that you're with owns the key to your heart, but at some point they've come home and they've dropped that key and somebody else has picked it up and it has started to unlock your heart.
That's the line that attracted me to that song.
Yeah, that's it's that idea of going, you know, this person has this key and this person kind of has this ownership over you, you know, not ownership, not in a possessive way, but this person is yours, you know, and has the key to your heart. And it happens all the time, you know, people are in relationships and then they don't ask for it, but somebody else comes into their life for whatever reason. And they fall for this other person, and they realize that they don't want to be with the person that they're with, and they want to be with this new person. And it's a really, it's quite a difficult scenario, obviously, for everyone involved. And it takes a lot of strength and a lot of bravery to kind of deal with anything like that.
Good murder, we're doing every solid lie.
just need a weak link to reveal it's all a part. You play the role of my partner, but you are absent in my car. So don't we, so don't we kill for company, just to cement these frail identities. Don't we kill what we love, then we'll kill what we love, then we'll kill what we love. Facts will not hide, the fiction inside. I never saw a star. And if my heart has a lock, and I have gone this way, you must have dropped your key way home last night. So theft's taking place, and I'm being kidnapped within. Someone's mind is still breaking. And if my heart has a lock, and I have gone. So life's taking place, and I'm being killed out with him. Someone's managed to break it. Someone's managed to break it. Someone's managed to break it. Well, someone's managed to break it. God knows we never saw a star. God knows we never saw a star. And if my heart's got a lock, and I've got this right, you must have dropped your key when you were walking home last night. So theft's taking place, and I'm being kidnapped within. Someone's trying to break in. Oh, and if my heart has a lock, and I have gone this way, you must have dropped your key on your way home last night. So theft's taking place, and I'm being kidnapped within. Someone's mind is still breaking. Someone's mind is still breaking. Someone's mind is still breaking. Someone's mind is still breaking.
Jump to the middle of the album. I know you're supposed to listen to the whole thing. The song Cinema has quite a playful production. What inspired that?
Well, the song Cinema is a simple play on suggesting that somebody that you're kind of into just treats life in this very 2D, like this very kind of cinematic experience, like they're living in front of an audience, and everything that they do is all for some sort of publicity, and they just treat everything like it's a big film, and they really lack any kind of solid ground and foundation in the way that they live. It's all an act. The whole thing is an act. So once I'd written the song and I've knew it was going to be called Cinema, and then I was like, actually it would be really kind of cool to inject certain things from actual movies and sample some people talking and put them in. So I scoured the internet for ages, and I was thinking about all these films that I really liked, and that's how I came up with the three excerpts. My favorite, obviously, being the Gene Wilder speech from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
That is the most powerful, and maybe a lot of that has to do with it has a powerful video, is Freer. Could you talk about that?
Yeah. Freer is a song that I wrote a few years ago. And I actually wrote it on the piano first, and I was sitting in my apartment, and I had just, me and the somebody that I was with, we decided to end our, it was a mutual agreement, and we decided to end our relationship. And he moved out, and then I sat at the piano in my apartment in Midtown and just started writing this song and started writing these lyrics and then kind of messing about with it on the piano. It's just one of those songs that I was just trying to be really honest about stuff and trying to be really honest with myself and really honest with people that I'd been involved with and saying, you know what, I've made some really fucking stupid mistakes and I've done some really stupid things and I've hurt people and I'm sorry about it, but I can't change it. It's like I have to accept that I've done that. But honestly, the freedom that I was looking for when I was saying, you know, I don't want to be with you. I want some freedom. I don't want some space. Freedom is just one fucking big waste of space. Because actually the reality of having all that space and having that freedom is not what I wanted at the time.
The video is incredible, and it must have been wrenching to film it.
It was, yeah. It was a long day. We started very, very early in the day, but I was really excited about it. I was excited that I was making a video for that song in particular, and with the director, Dante Russo, who I just think is amazing. He has such a unique kind of cool vision. So me and Dante collaborated on the album, and we both kind of designed the video and designed the story and how, you know, that it was going to be about these two guys. And it was basically about this one person sitting in an apartment on their own, thinking back to the past about this person.
I'm quite pleased that I was the person who suggested you submit that video to the Write Out TV Awards, and you won.
And I have you to thank for that. Yeah, that was cool. I wasn't expecting to win at all. I took your word and I thought, sure, why not? I'll submit it. And that was a real treat. Yeah, I was really proud of that.
That was for the most moving video category.
Yes.
It sure was.
Cool. Well, thank you. Cheers.
We'll get to the song Freer in a few moments, as I'm using it as the closing song. But I had just a few more questions for Declan. I gather you're working on your next project. Could you tell us about what you think it'll be?
Yeah, I actually have, I've got a couple of things that I'm working on. I'm working on doing, I think the next kind of release that I'm going to do, or that I'm hoping to do, is a solo live album. Because amidst all of this, me playing electric and all these kind of new electronic things that I'm doing, part of me kind of wants to take kind of my favorite songs from the first three records and go and play them live and do like a solo performance of these songs and record it live and then have that as a new release. Because I think the one thing that my albums haven't done is captured the live experience. I'm quite interested in having that as a release.
That'd be good. There's lots of videos of you at different venues, and of course they're homemade and the quality is very uneven, and it'd be nice to have something
right.
More professionally done.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So I'm going to try and get that done, hopefully before the year is out. And now I'm sitting on, I have a bunch of these new songs that I've been writing that are more in this kind of electronic world. So right now I have about 10, 11 songs. Honestly, I'm trying to figure out how it's going to be released. I know that I want it to, that it's going to come out next year. I'm toying with the idea of releasing it in three parts. I'm also toying with the idea of releasing 12 singles rather than a full album. That's basically where I'm at right now. I'm kind of just, I'm collaborating with some people, and obviously Boy George has done this remix of one of the tracks. And
I guess there's marketing decisions and there's creativity decisions.
Of course, yeah, of course. And I think the thing about just kind of like putting a full album out and then kind of touring and playing it, it's like you kind of just have this one, you just give it this one shot. You know, you give it your best shot and you hope that people like it, and you hope that you'll get some publicity and marketing, and then, you know, and then that's it. Then the album's out there. So I kind of like this idea of doing it in much smaller chunks, so that eventually it will be a full album, but rather than just release all the whole thing at the same time, is release it in really small parts, so like in pieces that eventually will make up the record.
Well, you've got the songs pretty much figured out. Is there an overall message to them?
There is. I don't know, actually. I don't know that there's an overall message, or that they... I think that's the thing where I'm at right now is what happens is, you know, when you make an album, you have this kind of batch of songs, or there'll be one song in particular that will stand out, and you'll be like, yeah, that's definitely the crux of this album and what it is that I'm trying to say, and this idea of the concept of the whole album. So it's very clear to you what the album's going to be called. And this time, I'm not so sure. I don't really have like a very specific message. I don't have a very specific idea. Like when I wrote Record Breakup, I knew that Record Breakup was going to be about this one particular breakup that happened that broke all the records in my life, you know, and so I knew that from very early on. So the whole shape of the album came from that. Whereas this new stuff, because it's been, I'm kind of approaching it from a musical perspective, there's less of a message and more of a musical journey that's happening.
One of my friends in the UK, online friends, is Steve Osborne, who I believe you know a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I told him I was going to interview, and he suggested some questions, and here's one that I thought really interesting that he suggested. I'm going to put it in first person. Do you write songs to expose your demons to the light or to invite the listener into the shadows?
Wow, Steve. Just giving me in-depth questions there. You know, I write songs to get stuff out of me. And I write songs because I really enjoy writing. You know, I really enjoy creating words, and I enjoy playing with words, and I enjoy creating stories and these mini little stories that can be put to music. And I think that letting the listeners into the shadows, or showing, you know, the demons into the light, is, if anything, if those things exist, then it's on a very subconscious level. That's never the driving force behind what I do. There's definitely a cathartic side to it, where I'm trying to make sense of certain things that have happened. There's an idea of, in my music and in my writing, that I'm just trying to be honest about the way that, about life and about things that happen. And sometimes people make mistakes, and sometimes people do stupid things, and sometimes people fuck up. But everyone does it on some level or another. And I think it's that idea of, I'll write a song about me being a fuck up in a relationship and me not making the right decision, and just trying to present that in a way and going, I'm just a human being, you know. And I think potentially that, you know, people look at that and go, God, yeah, I can totally relate to that. But I've never, you know, heard a song written from that perspective before. They tend to be like, oh, you fucked me over and you did this, and I'm going to, you know, I'll get over you and I'll get over this. And I tend to be coming from the other side, the other side of the spectrum. So, yeah, so maybe in that way, listeners get invited into the shadows, but also to just recognize that we all have those shadows, you know, and none of us are as clean cut and as nice as we would like to pretend to be.
Okay, this is J.D. Doyle, and I thank you for listening to this very special two-part interview with Declan Bennett, and I thank him for the wonderful responses. I have two more questions for him. What song comes to mind when I ask the question, is there a song that you've written of which you're the most proud?
I would say Freer is the song that I'm most proud of, just because it carries a lot of weight for me personally, and also it's been received so well by people, and that's meant a lot to me.
What seems to be your most popular song in front of a live audience?
Freer seems to be the one that people That's wait hit. For. It's a hit. That's my song.
For us, and the hope that these words might say more than has already been said. Cause we both live in fear that after a year, oh, I'm still stuck in yours, and you are still trapped in my head. It's been harder than we ever imagined an ending to be, and all for the freedom I wanted to see. Well, freedom's not all it's cracked up to be. I'd feel freer if you handcuffed me, if we were joined at the hip by pins like Siamese twins. I'd feel freer if you handcuffed. Cause we'll move on. We don't all survive behind walls of freedom that kill us, that keep us alive. It's hard climbing the rocks, but they're huge. What are the ups for the struggle instead? I wonder if I've known I would be this messed up. I'd have still packed my rucksack, climbed on ahead. Oh, but just wanna tell you, face to face, when I think about you and the life I replaced. No, for the freedom I wanted to taste. Freedom's just one fucking big waste of space. I feel freer if you hadn't. Join at the hip by pins like Siamese twins. I'd feel freer if you hadn't come to me. Cause we'll move on. We don't all survive behind walls. Freedom to kill us, to keep us. Join at the hip by pins like Siamese twins.